never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Today, we are continuing our series, Reigning in Life as Kings. I've been using Romans 5:17 as our basic text. And Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." When the first man, Adam, sinned, death reigned upon all men. But when the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gave his life at Calvary as our sin substitute, he opened up the dispensation of grace. And the Bible says, much more. Say that with me. Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And that's God's dream for you. Not to be slaves, not to be servants, not to be dominated, but God's dream for you is to master all of life. And that's why Jesus came. He came to give us life, and he came to give us that life more abundantly. I've been preaching on seven keys that you must understand to unlock the treasures of God and to rule and reign as kings and priests unto God. This material that I'm preaching is the Pauline revelation. Paul was caught up in the third heaven, and he said, "I saw things, and that it's not even lawful that I tell." But thank God for what he did give us and what he did write to the church. And he gave us revelation of who we are under this new dispensation of grace. And you won't find it anywhere else except in the Pauline epistles. But there are seven keys, and the first key is, I've already preached six of these sermons. The first key is know the integrity of the Word of God. And we were just singing about redemption. You've got to know the reality of the fact that you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You got to know that you're a new creation in Christ. The fourth thing is you got to know that you are the very righteousness of God in Christ. You have a right standing with God because of Jesus. Then you have to know the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that God came to dwell inside of you. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in the hearts of his people. Then you've got to know the reality of fellowship, that God wants you to have fellowship with him. That's one of the reasons for redemption. He wanted to bring you into relationship, but he also wanted for you to have fellowship with him. That's his desire. And then the seventh key that I'm going to be preaching today is know the authority of the name of Jesus. As I said, I've already preached six of these keys. I encourage you to go back, to look at that sermon series, to go through it over and over and over again. I've taken about everything that I have learned in my Christian walk and encapsulated it in this series of sermons. My subject today, seven keys to reigning in life as kings. This is part seven. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for who we are in Christ. We thank you that your word is true, that we are children of the Most High God, and that we can rule and reign in life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you came to give us life, that we might have it more abundantly. Open our ears that we may hear. Lord, let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Seat us in heavenly places together. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is our final message in this series. Key number seven, know the authority of the name of Jesus. Look at Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That word power there means authority. Why does the name of Jesus carry so much authority? It's because God has given him a name above every name. Oh, he received that name by inheritance. To which of the angels said at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." He has obtained a more excellent ministry than them, and he has obtained his name by inheritance. Secondly, he obtained that name by conquest. He went into the citadel of hell itself, stripped the devil of his power, made a show of him openly, snatched the keys of death and hell away from him, gave the keys to his church so they could rule and reign as kings and priests in his name in this earth. Hallelujah. Not when you get to heaven, right now in this earth. And thirdly, he received that name by bestowal. God bestowed that name upon him. Listen to Paul as he preaches the name of Jesus. He said, without controversy, greater the mysteries of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up unto glory. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He did that when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Now think about it. He's far above all principality, power, might, rulers, and dominion, and has put everything on his feet and gave to be the head over the church, which is his body. So if you're just a little toe in the body, the devil is under your feet. He doesn't belong in your back. He doesn't belong in your body. He doesn't belong in your finances. He doesn't belong in your family. There's one place the devil belongs. That is under your feet. And if you'll learn to speak the name of Jesus, if you'll learn the seven keys, you will be able to rule and reign in Christ Jesus our Lord. That name Jesus is above every name, and every tongue must confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God gave his son Jesus a name which is above every name. And Jesus has given the authority to use that name to his church. Now, authority means delegated power. And Jesus has delegated his power and his authority to his church. That's you and me. Look at Luke 10:19. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power, that word is authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have all power, you have all authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus said you could line the devil and all his demons up and say, stand right there, Satan. You stand there in Jesus' name. I have authority over you, I have power over you. And you must obey me. You can tell, line your demons up. Every one of them has to obey me. I have authority. I have power. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Anyway, if I die, what would happen to me? I just take the shortcut home to glory. Hallelujah. I mean, you just cannot lose when you understand what God has given to his church. Too many people, they sit back and they say, I wish God would do something about this. No, he expects you to do something about it. He has given you his power. He has given you his blood. He has given you his word. He has given you his nature. He has given you his life. He has given you the Holy Ghost. He has given you the authority. He has given you the name of Jesus, and he expects each and every one of his children to rise up and to rule and reign in life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to understand the exceeding greatness of his power, which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And when God raised him from the dead, God set Jesus at his own right hand. Look at Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to his church. All, say all with me, all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. God raised his son Jesus up, set him at his own right hand, and the right hand represents the hand of authority. I'll never forget when I was first saved and they asked me, will you teach a Sunday school class? I said, oh, yeah, I'll teach. And I walked away and all of a sudden this voice spoke to me and said, you can't do that. Why, you know you can't do that. And fear tried to grip my heart and God spoke to me. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, saith the Lord. I didn't understand the right hand of his righteousness at that time. God gave me what I could receive. God gives it to us, little here, little there, line upon line, precept upon precept. But God wants us to grow up and mature. Today I understand what he meant by the right hand. That's the right hand where Jesus sits at the throne of God. Now, he sits at the right hand. But look at this, Ephesians 2 and 6. I want you to catch the revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus. Most of the church world does not know this. And that's why I'm preaching along these lines. Look at this, Ephesians 2 and 6. And hath raised us up. God raised Jesus up. Now look. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are one with the Father. We are one with the Son. We are one with the Holy Ghost. And we're to be one with another. John said, I write unto you that you might have fellowship with us. And true life fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, he wants us to fellowship with him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love one another. Don't let the devil take your blessing by getting you, out of sorts with somebody in the body. When you cut yourself off from the body, guess what? You just cut yourself off from God. That's why you've heard me say it 100 times. Don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head. Let your happiness be in Jesus. Are you happy today? Then go on and praise him for his wonderful works that he's done for you. Hallelujah. So the door to exercising spiritual authority, it pivots on two hinges. I love to think about doors. I do, because Jesus is the door. Number one, first of all, God has raised Jesus up and set him at his own right hand. And secondly, he has raised us up together with him and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, at the right hand of God the Father, there's God the Son. He ever lives to make intercession for the saint. And you and I, we have the privilege to go behind the veil. God ripped the veil in two, says, all right, you can come right into the holiest of holies. You can come to my throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. This is Paul's revelation, that we have access through the blood to the very throne room of God. And while Jesus is interceding, whenever you start praying, I want you to know you have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that has passed into the heaven. He's praying. He's interceding for your need. If you can't find a brother or sister to pray for you, Jesus is praying for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't get to the preacher. Sometimes you can't get to others. But praise God, you can get to Jesus, because he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints according to the word of God. Go on and praise him for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. I hope you're beginning to see this revelation that Paul wrote to the church. It will radically change your life, and it will give you a new confidence. It will give you a new boldness to rule and reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now look at my text again, Romans 5:17. I keep coming back to this because I want you to understand this text. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, I love that, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace, you have received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. God's grace is sufficient. Much more, they which have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. We are to rule. We are to reign. We are to master all of life as kings and priests under God through Jesus Christ. Now think about it. He's the anointed one, and he has given us his anointing. He has given us his authority. He has given us his power. You have received the abundance of grace. You have received a gift of righteousness. You have a right standing with God the Father. Your sins, no matter how far down you went, your sins are under the blood. God said, I'll just cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up against you anymore. The Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Are you in Christ? You're not under condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God has given you a standing with him. That's what God wanted. God loves you. God cares for you. God is interested in you. God will come to you. I know he'll come to you. He came to me. Did he come to you? Praise God. He came to me. I could not get to where he was, but he came to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a great God. He's a good God. You have received the abundance of grace. But you've got to do something about it. You've got to get the Word of God into your heart, into your spirit, and then you've got to begin to confess it with your mouth. You cannot look at the circumstances. You've got to look at what God says. Paul said, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. So faith must be in two places. It's got to be in your heart and it's got to be in your mouth. You've got to rise up. You've got to do something. You've got to master all of life. You've got to hear the word preached, but, you know, it's not enough to hear me. You've got to open your mouth and you've got to say something. One man went out with a jawbone and he slew, how many was it? 285 Assyrians, something like that. But anyway, he did it with a jawbone. If you're going to slay the devil, you got a jawbone right there. Open your mouth and start confessing the word of God. Tell the devil who you are. Tell him who he is. Tell him the name above every name that it's been conferred upon you. And you have the authority to use that name. Hallelujah. So your faith must be in two places, in your heart and your mouth, if you're going to master all of life. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. You don't have to come after the preacher. All you got to do is resist the devil, and he will flee from you. People always asking me, when is God going to deliver me? When is God going to set my marriage straight? When is God going to heal my body? When is God going to save my children? When is God going to break the power of alcohol and drugs off my life? I'll tell you when he's going to do it. He's going to do it when you believe it in your heart and when you confess the word with your mouth. That's when he's going to do it. That's how you got saved. You believed in your heart Jesus had taken care of your sin problem. You confessed him as Lord with your mouth. And all of a sudden you came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you said, "Woo! Something's happened to me. Oh, I can't help but love him. Praise God. He passed around some good people to get to me. Went around some doctors, some PhDs, some lawyers. He went around some fine folk. Reached all the way over in the cesspool of sin and iniquity. Laid his hand upon me, said, I choose you. I don't know why he chose me. I wouldn't have chosen me, but he did. I don't know why he did it, but I'm so thankful that he did. Are you thankful that he chose you? Are you thankful that he reached out one day and touched you with that nail-scarred hand? Well, that's wonderful, but sometimes you just got to get another touch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a great God. Amen. People say, when is God going to do it? Well, the miracle is in your heart and it's in your mouth. You got to start speaking it. It's not in the when God is going to do it, but when are you going to rise up? When are you going to rise up in the name of Jesus and chase the devil out of your life? You've got to do it. Well, you may be thinking, well, if I've got all this authority, why am I experiencing all these problems? Well, it's because there's a real devil. And he's trying to rob you of your inheritance. He is trying to rob and destroy everything that is good. See, the devil and his demonic forces, they have an individual plan against every individual person. They don't just hit here and there. No, there is an orchestrated plan that the devil has against every individual. He has you on his radar. He has you in his computer. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy everything that is good, pure, and holy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, that's all right. Don't think of me like that. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And Jesus has reached down in the cesspools of sin and iniquity, and he has saved us. Hallelujah. Wrote our names in the Lamb's book of life, and now God the Father calls us his children. Oh, I tell you, you ought to be shouting. You ought to be dancing. You ought to be praising God when you think about the wonderful works that he's already done. I don't know what your need is, but I'll tell you one thing. It's a miracle that you're sitting in the house of God today. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood, forever redeemed, sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. Go on and praise him, church. He's the Most High. He's possessor of heaven and earth. And he is a deliverer from every enemy that you're facing. So rise up In the name of Jesus, amen. It ought to make you mad when you realize the devil has got you in his computer. It ought to make you rise up and fight. God says, suit up. Put on the whole armor. You're not wrestling flesh and blood. You're wrestling principalities. You're wrestling powers. You're wrestling rules of darkness. You're wrestling spiritual wickedness in high places, King James says. Others say in heavenly places. The devil's not in hell like some people think. We're in first heaven. God is in third heaven. In second heaven, that Satan rules his kingdom. And I've already preached on that, how you can bind the devil. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, in second heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in third heaven. The blessings are loose when you start loosing them in Jesus' name. So hold on to your confession of faith. Get a bulldog bite on it. Don't let anything ever snatch it away from you. Hallelujah. Rise up, church. Rise up in Jesus' name. So you got to speak to your mountain. Your mountain knows your voice. I said your mountain knows your voice. And your mountain will move if you will speak to it in Jesus' name. And God's plan for his people is that we rule and reign and master all of life. That we reign over circumstances. That we reign over poverty. That we reign over disease. That we rule and reign over all the power of the devil. We've been given the right to use the name of Jesus. We've been given the right to set the captive free. It's a legal right to use the name of Jesus. We've been given a right to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And I'll tell you, hell will fight you and try to keep you from understanding what I'm preaching. Hell will fight you over it. But you are who God said you are. That's why I love that confession of faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. When you receive this word, the engrafted word of God, you will never be the same. It's revelational knowledge that the devil fights. And when you know who you are in Christ, guess what? You can do what God says you can do. We have been given the right to use the authority of Jesus' name. My daddy, when he was living, he gave me the power of attorney. I could take all of his assets, and I could write a check, sign my name to it, because I had the power of attorney. Well, that's what Jesus has done. He's given us the power of attorney to write a check and call on heaven's resources to fulfill that need. Go on, praise him. I mean, he's a great God. When you start thinking about what God has done for us, he didn't have to do it. He died that we might live. He was smitten that we could be healed. He was beaten, battered, and bruised so you and I could walk in victory. He became poor to make us rich. Everything in his redemptive work, it belongs to you. It belongs to me. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't put any limitations on God. Just take God at his word. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, you've heard my story several years ago. I had a mountain. I'd just been saved. I didn't know what the word of God said. I was new. And I kept saying, oh, God, move this mountain. Oh, God, move this mountain. And God spoke to me one day and said, you move it. I said, me move it? How can I move it? But God was teaching me a lesson. And God taught me a lot of lessons. And he led me to several scriptures that brought victory into my life. Look at Mark 11:22. Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Or literally, have the God-like faith. Well, where do you get this God-like faith? You get it from Jesus. He's the Word. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in this fleshly body, I live by the faith. Whose faith? The faith of the Son of God. It's in you. Turn it loose. Let him work. Hallelujah. But what is this God-like faith? It is speaking the word of God with authority because you know you are a child of God just like Jesus is a child of God. Now, that'll baffle the religious world's mind. But you are a child of God just like Jesus is a child of God. That's why we can call him Abba Father. Hallelujah. You belong to him. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. And when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, we're going to disappear. Then shall we appear with him in glory. You belong to God. Lock, stock, and barrel. And you have the authority to use the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, look at Mark 11:23. I want you to see this principle. Jesus said, "For truly, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, there's your mouth, unto this mountain, be thou removed, shall not doubt in his heart, there's your heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Whatsoever he saith. Do you see that? Whatsoever he saith, if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall have it. Look at the next verse. "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Well, I didn't get them. Well, there's a devil. Just keep on praying. Keep on saying. Keep on declaring the word of God. Keep on speaking to your mountain. Keep on in Jesus' mighty name. Don't let anything stop you. Get a warrior mentality. Get a spirit on you that says, "No, devil, you back up. I'm coming against you in the name of Jesus. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior of the cross. The blood declares my victory. I've got weapons. My weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and high thoughts, and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God." Hallelujah. So you see, faith has to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. Jesus said, you are to speak to your mountain. He is not going to do that. You must do the speaking. You must open your mouth and you must give the command. That's something you must do. You've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. Now, I want to teach a little bit here because there are two ways that you can use the name of Jesus. And the church has missed this. Most of the church world has missed this. The first one is the prayer of petition. Jesus told his disciples before he returned to heaven, he said, "Petition the Father for your need in my name." Now look at John 16:23. Jesus said, "I'm going away." He said, "And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he," do you see that? "He," the Father, "will give it you." This is the prayer petition where you pray to the Father and you ask him to fulfill certain needs in your life. This prayer is always in order. I call it the baby stage of prayer when it comes to praying, real praying. But this is not the prayer you pray to heal the sick. This is not the prayer you pray to cast out devils. This is not the prayer you pray to set the captive free. You're just petitioning the Father. This is a prayer of fellowship. This is a prayer of communion with your Heavenly Father so you can tell him the things that you have need of. But there's another way to use the name of Jesus, and it's called the command of faith. The command of faith. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask, demand, or command in my name," he said, "I will do it." Not the Father. Jesus said, "I'm going to do this." So when you command certain things in Jesus' name, he said, "I will do it." Now let me give you some scripture to back up what I'm preaching. Look at John 14:12. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," do you believe on Jesus? "The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Why? "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." If you ask, demand, or command anything in my name, Jesus said, "I will do it." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask or demand in my name, I will give it to you so the Father can be glorified in the Son." Glorified in what Jesus did at the cross. He gave his life a ransom for all. He went to a whipping post, took stripes upon his back, beaten beyond human recognition. He was a man acquainted with griefs and with sorrow. Surely he's borne ours. He did everything for us So you and I could rule and reign and master all of life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, when we pray this prayer, we're not commanding the Lord. We are commanding the promises of God to come to pass. We are commanding principalities and powers and rules of darkness and spiritual wickedness to cease their work. We are commanding and we are casting out devils in Jesus' name. We are commanding healings in Jesus' name. We are commanding miracles in Jesus' name. We are commanding deliverance. We are setting people free in the mighty, all-conquering name of Jesus Christ. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, and he's given that name to you and me so we can come forth victorious. The church has been given the power, and we are to rule, we are to reign, and we are to master all of life. I've used that name so many times to heal people. We're not going to have church tonight, so let me go and preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're having church right now. I'll never forget my little daughter, Jessica. And she had a limp. And she walked with that limp. And I carried her to my pastor. I carried her to my daddy. I went right through the order of spiritual authority. And one evening I came home from work. I'd been holding a revival. And I took my little daughter out in the backyard. I laid my hand on her. I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name. Run." I got to run across. I wished I had this thing on video. I wish that 100 times. And she goes running across the backyard just praising God. You know, a little bit, about 4 years old, and comes back to me. I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name. Run again." And she took off and ran again and ran again. And when she come back that last time, the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. And all of a sudden, out of my innermost beings came this words. I said, "Come out of her, you foul spirit of limp. Run again. Be healed in Jesus' name." And she took off running. And all of a sudden, while she was running, I've seen this happen 2 times in my life. Oh, let me tell you, that's power in the Holy Ghost. And I threw my hand like that. And when I did, the power of God hit that leg. She hit the ground running free. Hallelujah. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. I went back in the house. Teresa said, "She's not limping anymore, Jerry." I said, "No, she's not limping anymore. Jesus just healed her out there in the backyard. I tell you, he's a healer. Hallelujah. I tell you, he wants to heal you. He loves to heal. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God." I'll never forget Sister Minnie Benson. I love to tell this story because God was teaching me the power of that name when I was a young Christian. He was showing me the authority. Amen. But we went over one night. We were sitting in a restaurant. Somebody said, "Sister Minnie said, pray for her. Pray for her." I told my wife, I said, "Come on, let's go." I said, "Let's go pray for her." I said, Jesus didn't say pray proxy prayers. Jesus said, "Go lay your hands on her, anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus." I said, "That's what we're going to do." We got outside. She, "Why do you always talk to people like that, Jerry?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Just come up out of my spirit." I said, "But that's exactly what I'm going to do." We went home. I got my big Bible. I got my anointing oil, a whole big bottle full of it. I got little vials, and I carry my oil on me all the time. I understand the power of the oil in the name of Jesus. But I got over there, and her leg was all swollen up. Her ankle was huge, and they just brought crutches into her. And I said, "Sister Benson," Holy Ghost feel. I mean, full of the Holy Ghost. I said, "Can I pray for you the way I want to pray for you?" I didn't want to insult her. She's a woman full of God. Here I am, a young Christian. I said, "Can I pray for you the way I want to pray for you?" She said, "Son, you can pray for me any way you want to." And I took that bottle of oil. I poured it on her foot, stood back, said, "Come out of her, you devil, in Jesus' name." And I stood there and I said, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." And that ankle started going in right before our eyes. 80-some years of age. She's in heaven now. She jumped up, speaking in tongues, dancing all over the place and praising God. Her daughter was there. And when we got ready to leave, she took those crutches they brought and said, "I won't be needing these. You can take them with you." Hallelujah. Go and praise God. Have power in that name. You see, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the life of God inside of man. And if you take the supernatural power out of Christianity, all you would have left is religion. But Buddha can't heal anybody. Mohammed can't heal anybody. Allah can't heal anybody. Joseph Smith can't heal anybody. They're dead and they're in the grave. Jesus was crucified on a cross, but on the third day he arose. Ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Up from the grave he arose. The mighty conquerors of his foes. He arose from the dead in the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Did you get that? With his saints to reign. With his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And we've been raised up with him. I tell you. Go on, pray. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Come on. Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. That's right. Christianity is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have a personal relationship with him. And the early church, they understood that. You are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. You have what God said you can have. The early church understood that, and they understood the command of faith. They understood the name of Jesus, and they used it. Now I want you to look at Acts 3 and 1. This is Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. I love this story. Let me read it to you. Acts 3 and 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they did lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of money, alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. So give me some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, as a prayer of agreement, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Look at this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Peter gave the command of faith in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to look at Acts 3 and 7. Look at this. He took that lame man by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Peter said, I don't have what you want. I don't have any money, but I got what you need. I got the name of Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost. I got power. I got authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So rise up and walk. And the power hit that man in his legs. He went into the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. I believe he was dancing. You ever gotten a miracle from God where you just wanted to dance and praise him? Hallelujah. I tell you, that's power in praise. If you'll praise him, believe him, your miracle will show up. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, when the people wanted to know how he was healed, look at what Peter preached. This is what he told them. He told them exactly how this man was healed. Look at Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith that is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, that prayer was not a prayer petition. That was the command of faith. He didn't pray, Heavenly Father, please heal this old lame man. He said, get up, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. They commanded the man to be healed in the name of Jesus, and he was healed. Paul did the same thing down at Philippi. Paul and his evangelistic team, they were preaching down there, and there was a woman there. She was a soothsayer, and she had a demon spirit. And she followed Paul and others day after day, saying, these men's a servant of the Most High. These men's a servant of the Most High. These men's a servant of the Most High, and they show us the way of salvation. And she did this for several days, and it hindered Paul's ministry. Look at what Paul did, Acts 16:18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out, the Sapphira. Hallelujah. Paul didn't pray a prayer petition. Paul didn't say, Heavenly Father, get rid of this demon spirit for me. Are you getting it now? No, he gave the command of faith. He said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And Paul set her free. And I'm afraid this is where most of the church has missed it. We are petitioning God to do something that he has given the church the authority to do. He said we're to rule and reign, and we're to master all of life. Now I want you to see the Great Commission given in Mark chapter 16. It's given five places in the Bible. This is my favorite. These signs shall follow them that believe. Matthew 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Do you really believe? Do you believe you can do it? In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. You know, the Bible is a book of miracles. And Jesus wants us to do miracles in his name. He has given us the authority to use his name. Paul did miracles. Look at this, Acts 19:11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. People say, I wish Paul was still here. Well, Paul is gone, but God is still here. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And it wasn't Paul who did the miracles anyway. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Our God is a good God. Hallelujah. And the fact that he healed people throughout the Bible, it is evident that he wants to heal you. The fact that he did miracles is a fact that he has a miracle for you. God is a God of miracles. You are a miracle. You live in a miracle body. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Nobody can make a computer like your brain. Nobody can make a pump like your heart. The new birth is a miracle. And you are a miracle. But sometimes we need a miracle. You're a miracle. But sometimes we need a miracle. And it's at a time like that that we must look beyond man's ability. And that's when we must look to God. God has given us a name above every name to use. There's salvation in that name. There's deliverance in that name. That's healing in that name, that miracles in the name of Jesus. Let us stand. There's a little verse that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And you shall find rest to your soul. What are you struggling with in your mind today? The Bible says, casting all your cares upon him. And then so many times I've had to go back to the cross. But I love going there because I know that I have access through the blood of Jesus and the everlasting cross and the very presence in the throne room of God. And I can go to my Father in the name of Jesus. And I can let my request be known. I want you to come bring your petitions to the Lord. We won't be having church tonight. You have special need. I have anointing oil. I'm under the anointing. And I will lay my hands upon you in the name of Jesus. And I'll anoint you with this oil. And I believe God with you for your miracle.